From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Abigail Giles. It's Friday, July 1st. Here are today's headlines.
Senator Patrick Leahy is recovering after a hip replacement surgery on Thursday. In a statement Thursday evening, Leahy's press secretary David Carl said the procedure was successful and the senator is staying at a Washington area hospital. The surgery came after the 82-year-old senator fell in his home in Virginia Wednesday night. In an earlier statement, Carl said Leahy's partial blindness caused the fall. Leahy has served in the Senate for over four decades and is in his final year in office.
There's a new city in Vermont. Essex Junction officially became an independent city today. That's after last November's election, when voters chose to separate from the neighboring town of Essex. Andrew Brown, the now president of the Essex Junction City Council, says the change will simplify municipal services for community members who were previously governed under two different municipalities.
If anything, this is better services. It's in terms of constituent services, makes it easier for our community to know where to go to instead of having the duplication that has existed.
Brown says the new city will have a council and a city manager. And he says a new committee will determine whether to elect a mayor in the future.
Starting today, Vermonters who want to manufacture and sell products made with cannabis can apply for licenses. Think things like cannabis-laced gummies or chocolate. It's the latest category to open up for licensing in the state's new retail cannabis marketplace. James Pepper is the head of the Cannabis Control Board.
They can also make high THC concentrates, and they can make the kind of vape cartridges and things like that.
The state's retail cannabis marketplace officially kicks off on October 1st.
Vermont's Supreme Court heard arguments this week over whether records related to a former St. Albans cop should be kept sealed. The officer and his father were accused of assaulting and kidnapping another family member. But those charges were dropped by the Attorney General's office. Vermont Public and VT Digger asked for copies of the AG's investigation after the case was dismissed. That request was granted, but before the news organizations got the records, a court order sealed them. VT Digger sued to get the records, and the High Court took up that lawsuit this week. The court usually takes several months to issue a decision.
Coming up, how to make a drum. That's after this.
Nathaniel Hall has been making hand drums for almost three decades, and he still sees and hears a unique quality in each instrument he creates. In the latest installment of our summer school series, our colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman brings us into Hall's shop to learn how to make a drum.
My name is Nathaniel Hall. My business name is Everyone's Drumming, and I'm located in Putney, Vermont, and I've been making drums since 1994, so that's 28 years now. It's a long time.
Nathaniel started his business with a partner. They were a couple of young hippies who were good at woodworking, and they started experimenting with a design that used Northeast hardwood for the drum body and traditional animal skin for the heads.
The idea was to do something that we loved. We both enjoyed drumming. We both enjoyed making the product itself. I don't think the idea was ever to like, ooh, we're gonna, you know, make millions at this. It's kind of a niche market, so it's not like, you know, making paper towels where every household wants to have those.
They sold the drums locally and at festivals around the Northeast. After a few years, they went to a national music trade show, and the business took off.
We went in a phone call from testing at a couple of stores to nationwide, which at that point was 20 stores. They have, I don't even know how many stores they have now, but it's well over 400, I think. So that was like a big push in the beginning for us getting out there.
At one point, they had eight employees, and Everyone's Drumming produced upward of 5,000 drums a year, each handmade in a tiny wood shop in Putney. Their drums were shipped all over the world, and some of them ended up in front of some pretty high-profile musicians.
Well, locally in the state of Vermont, we have Fish, of John Fishman, Mike Gordon, have both have many of my drums. Members of the Grateful Dead, Mickey Hart, Bill Kreutzmann, Phil Lesh has one. The original Ice Age movie, Rust of Root, did the soundtrack, the Send Me On My Way for that, and I can pick my drum out of that soundtrack right off the bat.
The business cruised along for a while until cheaper imports from Southeast Asia undercut their product, and they couldn't compete on a national level. Eventually, they closed the shop and Nathaniel's partner left. For the past decade or so, Nathaniel has been making drums pretty much on his own, focusing more on quality and selling to a customer who's willing to pay more for a higher-end product.
As you came in today, there's a big pile of shavings sitting out right out front. So I was cleaning up this pile of curly maple right here. I get all my wood locally from local wood suppliers. Using all woods mostly just from the Northeast. So we use ash, maple, cherry, you know, black walnut, basswood, and other woods, you know, by request. So we make the drums with a stave construction, so it's like a barrel. So they're cut on a saw with the angles, then they get glued together and then turned on a lathe and rounded out.
It takes just under a week to get a drum body ready, between cutting the pieces, waiting for the glue to dry, turning the body on a lathe to get it smooth, and then staining the wood. Then Nathaniel takes the drum body upstairs. To a second floor workshop, where he stretches an animal skin on top.
All right, so here's one. This is an African hide, the goatskin. And those take a little more to process because you have to hand shave the heads.
Nathaniel clips the long hair off of a dried goatskin with the scissors and then soaks the skin in water overnight to soften it up. The softened skin is draped over the drum body between two steel rings as Nathaniel starts tightening the head with a string.
So there's a steel hoop in the center of the drum and two on the top, one with knots and one without. You'll hear it get tighter each pull. So now I've gone all the way around. Just going to check it.
With the head firmly in place, Nathaniel starts to shave the dried goat hair off of the now tightened drum head.
So what I do is I use this straight razor, which is very, very sharp. And you want to go kind of against the grain of the hair, but so you just kind of pull it out.
Flecks of dried goat hair drop to the floor as Nathaniel carefully scrapes the razor across the skin, which is slowly turning into a drum head. Nathaniel estimates that everyone's drumming has sent out about 40,000 drums in almost three decades, and this one is about ready. It might be sold at an upcoming festival, or maybe go to a school kit through one of the educational accounts Nathaniel has. Over the past few years, Nathaniel has been making drums on a part-time basis, while he worked a full-time job maintaining the grounds at a nearby school. Maybe it's a post-COVID reassessment of career choices or where he is right now in his life. Nathaniel is 53, but he's getting back into drum making full time. He even has a few festivals lined up this summer.
You know, at this point, I consider myself a master craftsman at this, 28 years of making drums. And I guess that's what I strive to do, is to make drums that are aesthetically are beautiful, but also functionally just sound incredible. So that's where I'm at. And everyone is different, you know, each one. You can't make the two to sound exactly the same. Different types of woods will have different tonal qualities, but each piece, each drum has its own voice. I find that's it's really interesting to bring that out of all of these different materials that we use.
For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
And before we go, we're going to end this week with another clip from the archives of the Vermont Folklife Center. Today, another song from Guy Livingston of Facedon, who we heard last week. He was interviewed by the Folklife Center in 1994. Outside of his work farming, Livingston sang and wrote songs inspired by his Irish heritage. He was also interested in boxing, and he wrote this original tune about a young boxer.
He was just a tough kid with a wallop, a kid that had entered the ring. He was just a tough kid needing money, a kid that could take it and swing. His first fight was with an old-timer who knew every trick in the bag, and he battered the kid's head and body till he started to buckle and sag. The kid, he was dazed, he was groggy, but he still threw one last sweeping right. Got the other flush on the button, 'twas a blow that soon ended the fight. The kid, he kept fighting, kept winning, luck more than skill paved his way. Money streamed through his fingers like water that flows from the creek to the bay. Then came the chance of a lifetime, the chance was a crack at the champ. He said, if I don't take him over, it's my last fight that you'll ever map. By the eighth round, the kid, he was reeling. Still, he would stand there and swing. For a second, he made the champ stagger with a blow that would make your head ring. By the 12th round, the kid, he was beaten.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Michaela Lafrac, and Karen Anderson. And special thanks to Mary Wesley at Vermont Folklife Center.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Abigail Giles. We'll be off on Monday for the 4th of July holiday, so we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
He was just a tough kid with a wallop, a kid that had entered the ring. He was just a tough kid needing money, a kid that could take it and swing.